Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars fans, how are you tonight? You may not recognize his voice. Do not be alarmed. It is I, Sam Jordan, your intrepid sideline reporter. Yeah, the guy from the sidelines. And joined by local radio personality Aaron Schachter.
Whoa, that's a lot of accolades there,
it is,
Sam.
It is. You deserve them,
though. A lot of accolades.
The B-team is here, guys, tonight. The B-team is here to guide you through the next 60 minutes like Ken Wisenhut has guided the Arizona Cardinals. Wait a second, Aaron, this is a typo. The Arizona.
No, this is actually what happened.
The Cardinals are in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You serious?
No, I'm dead serious, yes.
Well, in any event, Vic Ketchman is off avoiding this cold somewhere. Jeff Loggeman is involved with a controlled burn in Georgia. That's true. And Brian Sexton is in Mobile, Alabama for college football's Senior Bowl. So we are filling in tonight and just tonight. Don't worry. Don't get too attached, you know, no matter how good this sounds. Just don't get too attached.
That's what I tell my wife every time
Exactly. Of course, we've got Joe Fortunato behind the board as well. So the master is in control tonight. Now, Brian will be joining us for the second half of the show tonight. He's got details on an exclusive story that he is reporting, which is that Jack Del Rio, apparently, is going to take over as the Jaguars' defensive coordinator in addition to maintaining the head coaching duties. This is breaking news, as we say. Greg Williams has gone to New Orleans after 1 year in Jacksonville, and Brian is reporting that Jack will take over himself. Now, we recall in 2002, Del Rio took over the Carolina Panthers defense. He took him from last in the league to second overall, and as defensive coordinator there, he was then hired basically off of that and his work with Baltimore by Wayne Weaver, and he's been here ever since. But this is Brian's story, so we're not going to get too much into it till after 6:30. But this is what he's reporting, and I can't wait to find out more about this because this is pretty new around the building.
Oh, yeah, and it's a new thing in the league. You don't see this anywhere. I find it really interesting. You talk about Jack's success in Carolina. It was when Jack was the defensive coordinator, not the head coach as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of delegates which responsibilities go where, who will be helping him. Obviously, he's not going to be doing it by himself.
Now, Brian is up there, and Jack is up there as well. Jack is coaching the South in the Senior Bowl, so he's right there. And maybe this emerged in the last couple of days, and that's how we got it, but we're going to let him touch on that. But if you want to call on that, the phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Coming up in a few minutes, we've got your Super Bowl preview from both sides. As we talk with Cardinals wide receiver Anquan Boldin, we've got him, and we've got the take on the game from Mike Prezuta, columnist for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Couldn't get a Steeler, apparently. We just got the newspaper
Mike
guy.
Mike is much better than a Steeler. Come on, now Mike will actually tell you the real deal. He'll give you the skinny on the game.
And you know him from the Jaguars tailgate show every week. He's got a great voice, and he knows his stuff. And then later on, that's not done, folks. Act now. We've got more. Later on, we'll talk with a Jacksonville sports icon who is unfortunately now without a job. David Lamb is going to join us on the show after the 6:30 point. So
can't wait to hear from David.
This
I'm sure
is a jam-packed show.
Yeah.
Yes. The phone lines are open right now. If you've got Jaguar stuff on the brain or you want to talk Super Bowl, whatever, dial it up, 355-NFL-1. But let's begin, Aaron, with the latest Jaguars news and maybe NFL notes.
Some of the bigger news, Montel Owens signs a contract extension with the Jaguars. Montel actually played a decent role this year with the team, especially after Greg Jones went down with his December ankle injury. 3 touchdowns on the year for Montel, but he's also a big special teams contributor.
He's the captain of the special teams.
Absolutely.
You know.
Last 3 years, he's had the most tackles in 3 years combined on the special teams. I think it's 45 tackles, if I'm not mistaken. But a big role player on this team. He's a high-motor dude. So, I mean, these are the kind of guys that the Jaguars said they want to go after. These good character guys. These high-motor guys, and they're certainly adding to that theory.
And he filled in when Greg Jones went out. He filled in on those carries when you needed him. And yeah, those touchdowns. And he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown late in the season. So I knew that the team thought highly of Montel Owens previously. So it's not a surprise.
Also, Shaq Harris talking to a new team a couple of days ago. Greg Williams found a home with the Saints last week. Now Shaq Harris interviewing with the Browns. And that would be an interesting fit. The Browns letting go of Phil Savage after the year, after their disappointing year coming off of a year where they thought they were going to make the playoffs and having a bunch of turmoil, Romeo Crennel and Phil Savage. Shaq Harris interviewing for that job. Be interesting to see if he lands it, being some of the turmoil that kind of left behind, even though he stepped down from his position.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars fans pretty much know what the feeling was around here and what they felt. I mean, we heard it all through the season. People were calling up all of our shows, whether it's Jaguars reporters, Jaguars This Week, the post-game show, the scoreboard show. They had a gripe with Shaq Harris. So it'll be interesting to see if he lands that. Another story that's hitting some of these rumor wires. It's not necessarily fact-based yet, but there's been a story about this L.A. group trying to lay this foundation for a new stadium to be completed by 2012.
Okay.
The Vikings are now saying that they are watching it very closely. This might be a little bit of posturing. The Vikings looking for some money from Minneapolis and Minnesota, you know, some city and state money to build their stadium. Apparently they're not getting it, just like every other team in the country right now isn't getting help from their city and state, which is why I find it interesting that L.A. is going to be able to pull this off by 2012. Everyone pretty much remembers the L.A. Rams weren't exactly a success story.
Yeah.
Football never really carried in L.A. as much as baseball or basketball did. Now, with the Vikings mentioned in a lot of these articles, you see other people mentioning teams like the Bills, who play a game in Toronto this year. The Jaguars being mentioned. Every time a team is mentioned about going to L.A., the Jaguars are thrown into that conversation. You remember earlier in the season, Sam, there was that story that hit the Times Union about Wayne Weaver trying to talk some investors into buying into the team.
Oh, yeah.
One of which wanted to move it to L.A. The Chargers mentioned in this conversation. We hear about that all the time as well. The Raiders, I can't see that happening, but, you know, they've moved before, so they're in that conversation. 49ers, Rams, and the Saints. All teams struggling.
All right, but the big news here is that, I guess, the Vikings are the latest one to be using Los Angeles as a possible.
And it really is a posturing move.
Right.
They're making all the statements. No one's saying anything. I mean, we're talking about 3 years down the road where the economy right now, who knows what's going to happen? The bottom can fall out of this thing in an instant. So, I mean, I just think this is all political posturing.
The Vikings are using L.A. in a way that, say, when you've got, a girlfriend, not a wife, but a mm-hmm. girlfriend, and things aren't going so well, and she's making it seem like, you know, she could do better, you tell, hey, well, you know, Susie at the office says I'm really attractive. She liked the way this shirt looked on me today. You know, I guess I could date Susie.
That's exactly what's going on. Exactly.
Right. All right. So that wraps up the news in notes. I would like to talk about one positive situation we've got going on here, Aaron, and tell me your thoughts. This buzzkill of a concoction that is the week off between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. Perhaps, this may be the last time we have to deal with this for a while.
Mm.
As you may have heard, it was recently announced next year the Pro Bowl will be played on the Sunday before the Super Bowl. So a week before, the Jaguars play the Falcons for all the marbles.
Mm-hmm.
And why they give out marbles instead of a trophy, I have
no
idea.
It's cheaper. It's a bad economy.
That's true. But next year, we will finally have a proper spot for the Pro Bowl, in my opinion, and a proper use for this in-between Sunday. Because, Aaron, it is my contention that sports fans like routines. They like regularity. They like knowing that if it's Sunday, there's a game on. And no matter how many years they throw this off week at us, it's still always a surprise, isn't it? It still kind of hits you hard.
It just, to me, it seems like it's the league bowing out to the media to allow the media ample time to cover it from every single angle. As nauseating as the constant coverage may be, they'll talk to every player involved. All it really ends up doing, though, is a lot of times you'll find these teams where you'll find the lesser character players getting into trouble with this extra time. And I think it is an ingenious idea to put the Pro Bowl on that week off.
I see it. It's kind of like that traffic jam on Butler Boulevard on your way home. You know, you shouldn't be surprised when you see traffic crawling along. But every time, yet you never fully expect it. So it kind of hits you in the gut. Because I think as great as the Super Bowl is, it still can't sustain 14 days of talking about it, at least not from an X's and O's standpoint. Football is meant for the seven-day cycle. You're familiar with it. Sunday, play game. Monday, talk about Sunday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, talk a little bit more about Sunday's
sure,
game.
Yeah.
Wednesday, don't talk about football. Check on wife and kids. Make sure they've got enough to eat.
And maybe check your favorite blogs for injury updates.
Possibly.
Okay.
Thursday, talk about upcoming game.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, go to upcoming opponent team's fans message board. Leave misspelled, wild-eyed rant calling into question their entire organization's masculinity.
All right.
That's Friday. And Saturday, you purchase your large quantities of your processed animal flesh and fermented liquids. And then Sunday, watch game. But, oh, no, hold on. As the games get more important, right, when they mean the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
They mean
yep.
the most right now. That's the brakes. The NFL slamming on the brakes and says, hey, this Sunday, why don't you give the NHL a try? ESPN has billiards on. Check that out. Why not give Lifetime a try? Come on. You can't fully judge another Meredith Baxter Burney movie of the week until
right.
you've seen one, can
right.
you?
Exactly. So especially the one with her and Valerie Bertinelli is my
that
favorite.
That one was good.
Now,
I'm
excellent.
Not, no. But I'm calling this bogus. Actually, the clinical term is bogus interruptus.
Oh.
Because
you find that on Wikipedia? Or
I think so.
All right.
So bottom line, this time next year, we will have a game on this Sunday. You know, sports fans right now, you got nothing to look forward to this Sunday. This year, this time next year, January 31st, 2010, in Miami, that's the site of next year's Super Bowl, at 8 p.m., televised by ESPN, you got your Pro Bowl. You got the best players in the game, minus those partaking in the Super Bowl.
Which kind of sucks. Usually, the teams in the Super Bowl are filled with some of these great players you'll want to see in the Pro Bowl. But at the same time, every year you're going to have people with injuries, guys like Brett Favre with injuries, Philip Rivers with injuries that you wouldn't see anyway. Just the fact that you have football during that week off where you would normally have nothing is great.
But don't you admit that most true, even true hardcore football fans kind of take the Pro Bowl off? They often take it off and don't watch it?
Well, because it's just, it's done. You've hit the climax.
Right, that's it. You've just played the most important game of the year and followed it up with the least important game of the year.
Yeah.
So why not take the least important, put it right before the most important?
It's perfect.
It is. I think it is. Yeah, give us a call on that. Tell us what you think. 355-NFL-1. Chime in on that or anything else if you like. It's Jaguars this week. Sam Jordan and local radio personality Aaron Schachter.
In the house.
Taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com to play AMC Theater's Movie Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free movie tickets and more. Coming right back with more Jaguars this week. It's AM 690 at 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Vic and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sam Jordan, your sideline reporter, and Aaron Schachter, who we now call a local radio personality.
It's about as high as it gets for someone in radio, isn't it?
And we're with you till 7 o'clock. Brian is in Mobile, Alabama for college football senior ball. Jeff and Vic with the night off. So just for tonight, you've got the B team. But we've got a good show, I think. I think the good show is going to start pretty soon.
At some point.
We have the appetizer there. But let's take a call right now. We appreciate Keith from Ocala holding on. Keith, what's up? You're on Jaguars This Week.
Hey, hi, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Hey, listen, just over the last few weeks, you had Atlanta, you had Miami, you had Baltimore. They were, like, totally horrible last year. Miami 1-15. Atlanta, I think, was 4-12. Baltimore was either like 4-12 or 5-11. All right. New coach, new quarterback. Two of those teams had rookie quarterbacks. They go from, you know, being terrible to the playoffs. Okay?
Yep.
Now, you have Arizona. They get Ken Whisenhunt. In 2 years, they go from laughing stock to the playoffs. So my question is, one, is patient's dead, and two, is Del Rio in trouble?
All right, Keith, let me say this. If Del Rio never signed that extension last season, I would say yes. I mean, if his contract had been to the length where he would still be employed for this season and next season, I would say yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that we didn't think would be in trouble in this offseason that have got to look at John Gruden. I mean, there's a guy that I don't think anybody really saw
right,
coming getting fired. And there he is right out the door. Mike Shanahan, another one of those guys. So, yeah, I think Jack Del Rio would have been at risk. But because of that extension he signed, I believe Wayne does have patience to allow Jack to get this done right.
Yeah.
But allow me to say this, and I will ask Brian what he feels about this. With Jack taking over as a defensive coordinator, this now puts the onus on his shoulders. If he can't get this to work out, then Jack is going to have some trouble. It may not be in the next offseason, but the leash will start to get shorter.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not too worried about that, but I want to touch on something that Keith said. I think it's becoming tougher to analyze what goes right and what goes wrong with your football team, or just teams in the NFL in general, because the Arizona Cardinals have the worst rushing offense in the NFL this season. And if I were to tell you that, you know, hey, your team's going to have the worst running game in the league, what do you think, you know, your shots are at making the Super Bowl?
But
you'd say no way.
Before you go quoting that rushing offense, keep in mind they had three amazing explosive receivers. They don't need to go to the running game that much. I agree with you to a point, but when you look at Miami, Baltimore, Arizona, each of these teams got better because of different reasons.
But
it's not all the same
and
thing.
And Kurt Warner, though, I mean, like, or Joe Flacco getting that far. Kurt Warner, if I would have told you 2 years ago, you know, Kurt Warner's going to join the Cardinals and lead them to the Super Bowl, you'd say no way. I think the margin of victory and defeat is so close, it's getting so minute. I think it becomes a little bit of, like, false storylining to say, oh, they won because of this or that. It's tough to tell.
Each of these teams could do a whole, we could do a whole show on their progress and how this happened, but we don't have time for that. We have a very special guest.
Yes, we have two special guests, but first, we've got your Super Bowl covered, and somehow Joe Fortunato managed to get Anquan Boldin, wide receiver for the Cardinals. Anquan, welcome to the show. You guys have had an amazing ride this postseason, one big win after another, and the whole city and team is excited. How are you feeling?
Anquan, I guess he's still upset from the game the other day. Anquan, let me ask you, what did you say to your offensive coordinator on the sidelines the other day? Okay.
Right. Well, Anquan, how do you feel about being involved in the offense? Do you think you're getting the ball enough? Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's Anquan Boldin, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals.
Was that receiver speak for diaper?
I'm not sure. Now, hopefully we don't get the same reaction from the other side here.
No, hopefully
but let's,
not.
Let's welcome in now Pittsburgh Tribune Review columnist Mike Prisuta. Mike, what's up? How are you tonight?
Guys, how's it going? That was a good get on Anquan there.
It was.
Appreciate the off-season hustle.
I don't think he's talking to any media outlets yet, so I think that was the first interview he's done since the game.
You know, the Jaguars season may be over, but you guys are still working.
We are. Hey, Mike, you know, these teams have played a whopping total of 8 times in 36 years, Cardinals and Steelers. Not exactly one of the great rivalries. So what are the storylines here? You're a newspaper guy. Granted, you've got a voice for radio and TV, but somehow you're working for the newspaper. But what are you writing about? What's the big hook here?
Well, I think the compelling one is, the Ken Whisenhunt, Russ Grimm staff. Those guys were assistants for the Steelers in Super Bowl 40 when they beat Seattle. And then when it was time to replace Bill Cowher, the Rooney family decided to go with Mike Tomlin. And then, lo and behold, 2 years later, they wind up playing each other in a Super Bowl. That's the good soap opera angle. But the compelling angle to me is, can Larry Fitzgerald be covered if you want to talk football X's and O's? You got the number one defense in the league, and justifiably so. I don't think it's just a statistical ranking. These guys are very, very good on defense, Pittsburgh. And you look at what Kurt Warner's doing with that offense. And I'm not sure Larry Fitzgerald can be covered. Mike Tomlin was talking at the outset of this week about we can't let him get down the field one-on-one. I don't know if you can let him get down the field 1-on-3. I think he still plays a more vertical game than anybody Pittsburgh has, and Kurt Warner knows how to take advantage of that.
Now, Ben Roethlisberger had a lot of trouble during the season, even having 3 to 5 seconds to find a receiver downfield. You feel the Steelers are starting to come together on that offensive line, or do they still really need to bang it to Willie Parker and Melwaldy Moore?
No and no, because I'm not sure that they can bang it to Willie Parker and Melwaldy Moore. That'll be interesting angle number two from an X's and O's standpoint, because the Steelers' running game is not at the point where they can go against a great defense that shuts down the run and get anything done. The Baltimore game was a classic example of that last week, the AFC Championship game. They didn't run against the Ravens in 3 games. The big, tough physical fronts they have a problem with. Arizona's been pretty soft against the run all year until lately. Then they start shutting people like Michael Turner down in the playoffs and stop that Atlanta running game. And they stopped Carolina's running game, but did they really stop it, or did Carolina stop it because they fell behind so quickly and had to start throwing more interceptions?
And what's the latest?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's the latest?
If the Steelers can run effectively, I think they'll score a lot of points. If they don't, I think Arizona's got a shot to win the game.
How about the health situation? I mean, Roethlisberger's always got something going on. What's the latest from the clubhouse? Is this team going to be healthy?
Yeah, I think it is. Roethlisberger didn't practice today. He got his back hammered again by the Ravens. A couple guys sitting out, Willie Parker and some of the veteran players. Hines Ward's the biggest concern. He suffered a sprained knee against the Ravens. Mike Tomlin said it's going to take an aggressive rehab and an uncomfortable rehab, but they're hopeful he can play. Hines Ward says he's playing, no question. And Ben Roethlisberger said today that Ward would play if the game was tomorrow. So I think they're going to go into it healthy. Ward might be a little bit less than 100%, but I'll tell you what, guys, he's not going to lose any speed. What he is able to do, he does with veteran guile and competitiveness and knowledge of route running and angles. He's never been a burner. So if he gets out there, we should pretty much see Hines Ward.
Certainly one of the best things he does is getting the heads of the opposing teams. Mike, one of the last questions I want to ask you, I know you're in the media for Pittsburgh, but try and be unbiased here. What do you think is going to be the outcome of the game?
You know, I'm wrestling with it. I think Arizona's going to score some points. I'm not sure if the Cardinals can stop the Steelers. I watched that AFC or the NFC game, a couple of times. So you know you guys love TiVo, by the way. It's a lot easier than messing with the tape and setting the time on the VCR and all that. You just hit a button.
And you never miss an episode of Lost. It's great.
Yeah. I thought the Eagles left a lot of plays on the field against that Arizona defense. And I'm not sure that they are that much improved. I give them credit for the Atlanta game. I'm starting to think that Jake Delhomme was the reason that Arizona lost. Or Arizona beat Carolina, and it wasn't so much what the Cardinals' defense was doing. Jake just had an unbelievable meltdown game. And the Eagles put up 450-something yards and just didn't score the points they should have because Donovan McNabb missed a few throws. So if you're going to hold me to a prediction right now, I'd say probably the Steelers maybe 38 or 35 in Arizona, 27 around that area.
We are going to hold you to that, Mike. We are.
Come
okay,
collect.
Well, then we'll go. let me make it simple for the listeners out there. Steelers and over. How's that?
Okay. Nice.
All right. Thank you very much for the insight, Mike. We appreciate it as always.
No problem, guys. Appreciate being on the show.
All right. That's Pittsburgh Tribune Review columnist Mike Prezuta joining us here. Sam Jordan and Aaron Schachter in for Brian this week. But Brian's coming up after the break. We'll talk with him. We'll talk with Jacksonville radio legend David Lamb, who is unfortunately now out of a job. We'll get his take on that. And this portion of Jaguars this week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy and the St. John's Town Center. More after news. And you're listening to Jaguars this week on AM 690 at 106.5 FM News Talk Radio WDOKV. And welcome back to Jaguars this week. Sam Jordan, your Jaguars sideline reporter and local radio personality, pinch hitting Aaron Schachter in tonight. And Brian, Jeff, and Vic, pretty much all with the night off. Brian, not totally. He's up in Mobile, Alabama with Jack Del Rio for the Senior Bowl, College Football Senior Bowl. We'll be talking with him momentarily. And he's got an exclusive story that he's going to shed a little more light on. But Aaron, yes.
I was just going to say, it seems so convenient that Jack and Brian, all these guys are down there at the Senior Bowl because the draft is really where the Jaguars are going to have to do a little bit of work this offseason, especially if they're not planning on spending all this money on free agency like they did last year. There is a lot of holes on this team. A lot of change is going to have to happen, especially after some of these players start getting wiped off the roster. We're gonna need these draft picks this year, as opposed to last year where we kind of traded a bunch of them away just to get Derek Harvey.
And you hope you can find a cornerstone at offensive line, you know, left tackle or something.
The draft is pretty deep with left tackles this year, although some of them a little bit higher than where the Jaguars pick, someone like an Andre Smith or a Michael Orr. Those guys kind of out of the Jaguars' reach unless they're going to trade up, which, you know, obviously is not going to happen. But there's some guys lower down that, you know, we'll talk about a little bit later on with Brian.
Yeah, Brian's come up in just a few minutes. But right now, a Jacksonville sports radio icon. He's been talking sports in the River City for two decades, but yesterday, unceremoniously, cut from the team, which known in radio circles, we like to call him the Evil Empire.
Mm.
But David Lamb joins us now. David, Sam and Aaron here. Nice to meet you, David.
It's nice talking with you fellas. You know, I guess sports is that way, whether it's sports talk or maybe playing in the NFL when they let you go. It usually is kind of unceremonious. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You're out the door. You know, you play until they decide for you not to.
You know, you don't know us. I've seen you around, but we know you. Many people in the River City know you. They know your voice. In 1991, 9:30 a.m. went to All Sports Talk, and you've been doing it pretty much there ever since up until yesterday. So you wake up today, and there's no microphone in front of you. How did that feel?
Well, you know, I did the honest answer is I rolled over and went back to sleep, but I was certainly up early, bright and early. No, I miss it. Obviously, I've done it all my life. Before that, I was a columnist and a sports editor here, as well as in other places in the newspaper business. I've done a lot of television. I think it's a great place to live, and I've done it literally for over 17 years. When we started what is now called 930 The Fox, we were only the seventh all sports radio station in the country. You know, now there are literally 1,000 or more, but we were only the seventh one. So it was a new venture, and I've been able to watch the medium grow, and it's incredible how it has grown and also how it's gained respect, because for a long time, the newspaper guys, the television guys, we really weren't part of the news media, but we have now evolved into being a very important part and getting the same kind of respect pretty much that they get. So it's been a great joy ride, and I don't think it's over. I'm not retiring. I hope to be back on my feet and back on the air somewhere real soon, and hopefully in Jacksonville. I've lived here 32 years. I love the city. I have no intentions of leaving.
Okay, so obviously this didn't go down the way it should have, or you would have liked it seen to go down yesterday, but we all understand that it is a business, and I'm sure working in radio for all that time, you saw a lot of people get the swift boot like what happened to you yesterday. But how do you think, what could have been the happy medium? How do you think they could have, you know, properly recognized, you know, working in Jacksonville sports radio for two decades and yet at the same time, you know, do what they feel they needed to do, I guess, financially?
Well, yeah, I mean, the economic climate is horrible right now, and they said that was the problem. Of course, 930 The Fox is part of Clear Channel, which is a huge radio giant, and they just made cuts across the board. I don't know that they needed to do anything. You know, I didn't expect a going-away party. Business is business. I would have liked to have seen it coming, a little notice, that type of thing. But, you know, in the corporate world, and maybe it's because we've got so many sue-happy people out there, it's pretty cold and calculating when they make these decisions, and I guess they're worried about you know, people coming back and suing them or whatever. I don't know. I didn't expect a party, but I thought a hug or a kiss might have been nice on the way out the door. But I didn't get either one. But I'm not upset about that. I understand business, and you're right. I've seen some talented people and some untalented people come and go in the business. So it's just part of it.
We're talking with David Lamb, Jacksonville sports radio icon, who is now out of a job as of yesterday. David, we've patched through Brian Sexton here, who's normally the host of the show, as you know, and you guys have been knowing each other for quite a while. So why don't you talk to him a little bit? Brian, you're on with David Lamb.
Hey, David, thanks for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Glad to do it, Brian. And I remember Brian when he was just a young, raw play-by-play guy. And now he's developed into this veteran, this father of, what, three, I think, now, and as well as a television sports director. So I've seen Brian grow up right before my very eyes.
Well, and I just, you know, I remember the day after I got the job, I tuned in, and David was looking for a babysitter for me for the road trips. And I laughed out loud, and I've listened to you for years, David. Obviously, you've been on another radio station, but my admiration and respect for you is immense. And I understand the tough economy, and I certainly am sorry that it worked out that way. And I just can't tell you how much you've meant to the sports radio community. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but guys like me who have listened and absorbed a lot of the wit and wisdom that you've laid out over the years, you've had a great impact on sports radio. You were the first.
Well, you know,
Jay Solomon, were the first.
If there's a positive side to what's happened to me, is that all of a sudden I'm hearing from a lot of people that I really haven't heard from very often, or some for years, you know, who are saying nice things. I did have a friend today who called up, and the only thing he left me a voicemail, and the only thing he said was, you've now ruined my 25-minute ride to work every morning. So that's the greatest compliment in the world for somebody, you know, that, you know, doing a morning talk show, for somebody to say that. So again, it's a business. It's not the easiest business in the world. But I'll tell you what, all over this country, all over the world, I guess, I've seen people laid off. I've had friends who've been laid off in other businesses. They're not public, so they don't get the kind of nice words people are saying about them. But it's tough out there now. I can't blame new President Obama, however. The actual firing came about an hour before he took office. So this is still George W. Bush.
David, a little bit of insult to injury because, you know, you're recovering from surgery. Is that right? Give us an update on your health and how that process is going. And are you physically able to get back in front of a microphone sooner rather than later?
I had the neck surgery, pretty serious neck surgery, December the 11th. And as soon as I'm healed up, and I'm doing very fine, by the way, I'll have major back surgery. I talked to my surgeon today, and the neck surgery is coming along fine, and I expect the back surgery to be something that it'll take me a while to recoup from, but I'll rehab and then get back. It's all connected. It's basically the spine from my butt all the way up to my neck, and it's just it's developed. It was injured over a decade ago, and it's just developed over the years of arthritis and what they call spinal stenosis, and discs are going all the different ways, and not to mention the age, the wear and tear of aging and being a big old fat guy anyway, I guess. Maybe playing golf, Brian, 6 days a week. That probably didn't help for all those years.
Well, I can't imagine that your golf game would be a problem for you, David. Are there any prospects for you to get back out on the course in the next year?
Well, again, after back surgery and rehab, my target date is sort of this coming summer, if everything goes well. That will mean I haven't really played much at all in probably 12 months. I haven't even tried in about 7 or 8 months. But, you know, I hope that day comes back. Out there and, continue to be the hack that I've always been.
Can you just give our listeners, because you were here before Vic or Jeff or I, but can you give our listeners a sense of what the scope of the Jaguars have been for Jacksonville? You know, what it means for a city that had always been associated as the Gator Bowl town and the Florida-Georgia game to pick up and get into the big leagues?
I don't know. It's very difficult to measure because it's been so immense. I can go all the way back to when Bob Irsay, the late owner of the then Baltimore Colts, now the Indianapolis Colts, landed at the old Gator Bowl in a helicopter, drunk as a skunk, I might add, with like 55,000 people cheering him on. Colt fever started. That was really the run for Jacksonville to get a franchise. We went through the period when we were laughed at, not only did Irsay, but other owners, Bud Adams, now with the Tennessee Titans, then with the Houston Oilers, Rankin Smith, who then owned the Atlanta Falcons. All of these owners made appearances in Jacksonville. They were all put on public display, practically had parades for them, and the rest of the nation was laughing that these owners were using Jacksonville just to get bigger stadiums in their hometowns, and they did, by the way. By the same token, though, these owners became very familiar with Jacksonville, and then with the arrival of the Jaguars, it surprised a lot of people. It didn't surprise me. I truly believed that we would one day get a franchise, maybe being there from the beginning, seeing the city grow, knowing the great football passion, and the arrival of the Jaguars, I don't think it's a coincidence that the town really boomed after that, and certainly from a national perspective, we still get cheap shots from clowns like Tony Kornheiser and Woody Page, but for the most part, it has brought Jacksonville to the forefront, and I think the Jaguars deserve a tremendous amount of the credit, and Wayne Weaver does too.
Hey, David.
You know, I was there, by the way, Brian, when the NFL offered Wayne Weaver a franchise. Take it to St. Louis, take it to Baltimore, and he said no. I started out with the Jacksonville group, and if I get one, it'll be in Jacksonville.
David, we're out of time, but we really appreciate you coming on tonight. We hope you have a speedy, safe recovery, and sorry things went down the way they did, but I'm sure you'll be making us laugh and informing us sooner rather than later on the radio.
I hope very soon to be back doing something, guys. Thanks very much, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you youngins and even an old veteran like Brian Sexton.
Thanks, David. That's David Lamb, Jacksonville sports radio icon. And Brian, you're still with us, right?
You got it. I'll hang through the break.
Yeah, you've got something big we're going to talk about in a moment here about Jack Del Rio possibly taking over as defensive coordinator. And you're listening to Jaguars This Week, which is brought to you by Swiss Tech Watches. Swiss Tech Watches are available exclusively at Espling Jewelers. Sam Jordan, Aaron Schachter, Brian Saxon, back with you for one more segment on Jaguars This Week on AM 690 and 106.5 FM News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, brought to you by Aetna. Sam Jordan, your sideline reporter, Aaron Schachter, Joe Fortunato, running things behind the board, and now the man who's supposed to be here but is in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, Brian Sexton. Brian, we got to start with this scoop that you've got on who will be the next Jaguars defensive coordinator.
Well, it's going to be Jack Del Rio, but he was the coordinator in Carolina, in 2002 when he helped John Fox take that defense from 30th to 2nd in just the span of one season. Now, they got some good football players there, and a youngster named Julius Peppers in his rookie season helped push them over the top. But Jack came here and was very involved with Mike Smith, who was a first-year coordinator in 2003, and really ran the defense back in 03 as they put those things, those building blocks in place for how they were going to play defense in Jacksonville. And over the last couple of years, Mike Smith handled it, did a very good job, and Jack could turn his attention to some other areas. He just got done telling me on CBS 47 that one of the reasons why he's so comfortable with putting his hands on the wheel with that defense is because his offensive staff is returning intact. He's got his line coach in Andy Heck. Mike Tice is the assistant head coach for offense. He's got his coordinator in Kennedy Pola and Todd Monken. He's got them all back. And so it's going to be much easier for him to be able to do that. And the word is that he will hire Mel Tucker, who was most recently the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator. And that's not a done deal yet, but that's who he's leaning towards. They're still working through that, I understand. And, you know, Mel will run a lot of the meetings during the week when Jack has to do other things like media or television show or whatever. But on game day, it's going to be Jack.
Now, Brian,
and it will be Mel Tucker or whoever he hires, but Tucker's the guy that they've targeted, who will be the secondary coach as well, replacing Donnie Henderson.
Now, Brian, in the years that Jack has been here, there's been lots of turnover in the coaching staff, whether it be on the offensive side or the defensive side. As you said, the offensive side coming back intact. What kind of stumbling blocks, what kind of hurdles do you see the defense facing now that they're going from Greg Williams, what he tried to install last year, to what Jack Del Rio wants to bring back now?
Well, there will be some of that, obviously, because what he wanted to do was, Greg, that is, who, by the way, is here at the Senior Bowl, I saw him earlier today, is he wanted to be more of an attacking defense. He wanted to run a lot more man-to-man and just send the entire house, go after everybody. And that's just not the way that Del Rio likes to play defense. He likes to play more of a cover two defense. So I think that is where they will be by the time they get started. Because he was doing it middle of the season when he took over, you know, and really was running the defense with Greg Williams.
All right, Brian, well, we are out of time, but appreciate you. Thanks for letting us take over your seat for one night. And I'm sure you'll have more on this coming up on CBS 47. Cole, have more tomorrow morning.
You got it, guys. Have a good night.
All right, and thank you for listening to Jaguars This Week, brought to you by Aetna, Sam Jordan, Aaron Schachter, and Joe Fortunato, saying good night. And you're listening to AM 690 at 106.5 FM News Talk Radio WOKV.